From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Kayla DeRoche. Coming up this week, fishermen in Homer are losing a longtime fish buyer and processor. The auction block is trying to sell its business, but money it owes to the city of Homer could be holding it back. Also, with Pacific cod and halibut stocks on the decline, some fishermen in Kodiak are looking for alternative winter jobs. For a couple of locals, that means helping out on research vessels, studying halibut in Kodiak waters. That and more coming up on this week's Alaska Fisheries Report.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
Fishermen in Homer will have one less fish buyer in town in 2018. The auction block announced via Facebook on December 20th that it would officially be closing its doors. The fish buyer and processor entered bankruptcy back in September and has been working on selling the business to California-based Southwind Seafoods. But the deal may be in jeopardy after the city of Homer objected to the sale. KBBI's Aaron Bolton has more.
The auction block has been one of Homer's larger fish buyers for about 20 years, and the business may live on under the Southwind Seafoods banner. But according to court documents, auction block owes over $100,000 to the city for crane and ice services. The city land the business sits on is also subleased from Harbor Leasing, which owes the city about $140,000 in back rent. In the motion to sell auction block for just under $2 million, court documents say about $1.6 million would be paid to Alaska Growth Capital, the largest creditor in the case. The city argues the sale can't happen because state law requires the lease to be paid up to date in order for it to be transferred to Southwind. But the profits from the sale aren't enough to satisfy the roughly $2.5 million owed to creditors, and the city's objection has put a halt on the sale for now. And the longer the bankruptcy proceedings take, the more money the city misses out on. Not just on rent from the land, but a closed-down fish buyer means the city sells less crane time for unloading fish and ice services on the fish dock.
Well, auction block was a major player in Homer, and we're feeling the impact of their not being in business here now.
Homer Harbor Master Brian Hawkins explains that the city operates its fish dock in a unique way. Rather than one fish buyer signing a contract with the city and controlling the dock, any buyer in town has access, which means prices in Homer can be more competitive.
Fishermen generally get more per pound for fish in Homer than they do in the other communities around the state.
Those competitive prices have made the longer run to Homer worth it in the past. But auction block's closure is coming at a time when halibut and Pacific cod stocks are down, making the extra fuel for a run to Homer more of a barrier. Auction block owner Kevin Hogan declined to comment on the bankruptcy proceedings, but he did say that the business primarily purchased halibut, but also dealt in salmon and other markets. The business also acted as a middleman for other buyers around the state and did some processing work. And with fewer markets accessible in Homer and declining fish stocks, it may make it more enticing for fishermen to unload their boats in Seward or Kodiak, which also have the advantage of being closer to the fishing grounds.
If you have a declining quota and say you have less fish in your hold, normally you'd have 50,000 pounds, but you only have 10,000 pounds. The amount of runtime it takes for you to get to market is a major factor, and all of those things play into it.
Fewer fish coming across Homer's docks could also mean less fish tax for the city. And there are about 7 active fish buyers left in Homer, which could potentially fill the gap left by auction block. But Homer-based commercial fisherman Buck Lakaitis says that's not a given. Lakaitis adds that it's not just less fish that will impact the community, it's also a matter of jobs.
When we come in and offload, you have an offload crew that's taking the fish off, you have processing workers, you have someone in the office who probably just lost a job doing the paperwork for the landing, you have an accountant, etc. So it's a big blow to the community to lose a processor.
Hogan says auction block employed 10 to 60 people throughout the year. It's unclear whether Southwind will pull out of the deal as a result of the city's objection, and company representatives were not available to comment in time for the story. Reporting in Homer, I'm Aaron Bolton.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The Pacific halibut fishery may see a drop in stock over the next few years, and the International Pacific Halibut Commission, which regulates the fishery, uses surveys in Kodiak waters to collect data. The surveys also give local fishermen another job to tackle during the winter season, especially in light of the recent announcement of the 80% cut to Pacific cod quota in 2018. KMXT dropped by one research vessel before they set off. Dock workers throw frozen fish through the hatch and into a large bin, and deckhands help transfer the headed and gutted bait into containers.
What's the bait?
Chum salmon. Chum salmon.
They're not the favorite salmon, I'm guessing?
No.
Well, but they are a favorite of fish. They're oily. Other fish consider them delicious.
Terry Haynes is a longtime Kodiak fisherman, and both he and his son are deckhands on the trip. That means they set gear and bring in the fish so that the scientists on board can focus on the research.
You know, they can see how we harvest the resource, and then we can see how they assess the stock. And it's a kind of a great to have that interaction between, I think, the harvester and the scientist.
It's also a good way to make some extra cash.
With the cod stock the way it is, this is a pretty good job right now this winter. And it's not during the regular longline season when I would be doing regular halibut and black cod.
Haynes says this particular research trip focuses on the halibut reproductive cycle.
So we're going out there and gathering both males and females, and they take all kinds of different samples, and they use those for their science. They take that back to the lab and get it all figured out, and their scientists make an assessment based on this data that they've gathered from the field.
They need 30 males and 30 females, and they'll head back to town whenever they catch the required amount. York Schmeiser, part owner of the longliner, the Kimasu, says the crew's pay is the same no matter what. $350 a day for 5 days. Get the job done the first day or the fifth, it's still the same amount. And he says for him and his vessel, participating in the research has been essential.
It's become a viable chunk of the program here. You know, without it, I don't know.
Like puzzle.
I don't know. We wouldn't be.
The right one.
We wouldn't. I don't know if we would have the boat even. You know, it's gotten pretty skinny on the catcher phase end of the long line here for us without a cod season now, and so this definitely helps.
He says he does abundant surveys with IPHC in the summer and the rare survey in the winter, like this one. He says they fish halibut and black cod in the spring and fall and used to fish Pacific cod in the wintertime. The reproductive study is one of a few projects IPHC is doing in Kodiak. The Commission's Biological and Ecosystem Science Program Manager, Josette Planis, says they collect halibut samples at the beginning of each month.
To basically understand reproductive progression and maturity in both males and females of Pacific halibut throughout their entire reproductive annual cycle, and how maturity advances and progresses throughout the year.
He says the project started a few months ago and is set to wrap up in August or September. Planis mentions two other projects, one which they completed in November, studied hook release techniques in the longline fishery to better understand the injury to fish and the effect on their survival rate. The other study looks at halibut size.
So those fish are getting smaller every year in certain areas, and we're trying to understand whether growth plays a role in this decrease in size at age.
According to an IPHC end-of-year assessment for 2017, Pacific halibut stock saw a steady decline between the late 1990s and about 2010 due to shrinking size at age and weaker recruitment strengths. A report from IPHC's November meeting in Seattle, Washington, shows a high risk for stock decline over the next few years. IPHC will discuss that decline and next steps at its upcoming meeting in Portland, Oregon, later this month. In Kodiak, I'm Kayla DeRoche.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their family. AMSEA at AMSEA.org or 907-747-3287.
Fishermen could see at least one upside to a frigid winter: solidly frozen lakes fit for ice fishing. It could keep some residents busy as far as winter sports go. KMXT sat down with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game Kodiak Area Management Biologist for the Sports Fishery Division, Tyler Pollum, to chat about ice fishing. So I don't hear a lot about ice fishing actually here in Kodiak. Could you give me the lowdown on what that scene is here in town?
Well, we have quite a few avid ice fishermen, but as most folks know, that it depends on when we actually have the conditions to do it. So like last winter, for instance, when we did have a prolonged season of ice on the lakes that was safe to walk on, there were quite a few people who took advantage of it, myself included. And most people probably saw the group of people that were regularly out there on Lily Lake and Abercrombie. And they're targeting rainbow trout through the ice that are part of our stocking program.
So rainbow trout are stocked by ADF&G?
There are natural populations of rainbow trout, such as in the Buskin River, but those are protected. You can fish for them, but you can't use bait in the winter, and you can only it's only catch and release fishing for rainbows and steelhead and buskin. So the ones that in the stocked lakes are put there just to allow some more sport fishing opportunity, particularly for ice fishing, as well as to allow anglers on the road system to be able to harvest some of those fish as well.
What are the lakes that you can ice fish on, and what makes them a good spot for ice fishing?
Well, we don't have any specific ice fishing regulations in Kodiak like they do on the mainland, but there are some special wintertime regulations and regulations for stocked lakes on Kodiak. So for most anglers target rainbow trout through the ice from our stock lakes. We currently have 16 stock lakes, and the list of those is a current list is always found in the back of our sport fishing regulations that are for that year. So if you see those are the ones that are currently stocked. And on the Kodiak road system, those are the only ones that are allowed to use bait from November through April, as well as the only ones that the harvest of rainbow trout's allowed in. So that's why they're particularly of interest to most anglers.
Can you keep the rainbow trout? Eat them.
You can keep rainbow trout in our stock lakes on the Kodiak road system. So for all our, as I mentioned before, the stock lakes, there's always a current list in our sport fishing regulations. Just because a lake's been stocked in the past doesn't mean that it's open to retention of rainbow or to keeping rainbow trout. It has to be one of the currently stocked lakes. And the regulations are that you can keep up to 10 rainbow trout a day, but only one of which per day can be over 20 inches. And that's only for stocked lakes.
Oh, so they're large.
They can be in some lakes. You can some lakes produce fish over 20 inches every year. Some lakes, the average size is 12 to 14 inches. We went out last year and were fishing on Mosquito Lake out in Cliff Point and probably caught 50 rainbows in that day between the group of people, but I don't think any of them were over 15 inches. But then other lakes, I saw a couple of anglers, not myself, but a couple of anglers pull fish out that were 23 or 24 inches last winter.
You said you ice fish. What's the thrill of ice fishing for you?
I think part of it is that it's a little bit of a challenge. It's different than just going and casting. Sometimes the fishing can be really, really fast or really, really good in the winter. So it's, if you're out in the summer and you catch a couple of fish, like in our stock lakes, for instance, you catch a couple rainbows, that's pretty good. But sometimes through the ice, you can just catch them one right after another. You just have to figure out how to where they are and what they're feeding on and what depth they're at. So I think it's just a new set of challenges.
That was ADF&G's Tyler Pollum talking about ice fishing.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KBBI's Aaron Bolton in Homer. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Kayla DeRoche.